You're listening to It's a Pro Man, a knitting podcast about a guy from Boston with yarn issues. This is episode 37, Brightly Colored.
It's a Pro Man.
It's a Pro Man.
Don't give me no dirty look, cause I don't give a damn. Just watch me as I work. Got a bag full of yarn, 26 at the ready. If I stop losing count and the bus keeps steady, I'll get this stupid monkey off my back.
Off my back.
Off my back. It's a Pearl, man.
Thanks for listening.
I'm Emily, or Omley, and currently on my needles, I have a pair of Ravenclaw socks for the Hogwarts Sock Exchange. Sock swap, and a very lonely last sock of a pair of twisted flower socks by Cookie, which has so far traveled to China, Germany, France, Belgium, and then been completely neglected because I have other things I need to get done. And the other thing that I'm really working on right now is my sister's wedding shawl. Doing the Print of the Wave shawl, our stole, and theoretically, the wedding shower was last weekend, and probably it should already be done, but somehow I was thinking, the wedding's in July, I have lots of time, and you know how they always say that the edging always takes longer than you think it does? Well, that edging, it takes longer than you think it does. And so I'm probably about 3/4 done. I'm on the last side. I'm about halfway through it. I've probably got another 4 to 6 hours to go. It's only 12 inches wide, the edging, but it takes a lot longer than I think it does. And the problem is, I think, just that it is not knitting for doing anything else. It's sitting and knitting and just knitting. So podcasts are good for that, but that's about it. That's about my level of my attention, and that's what I'm knitting right now.
Thank you, Amelie, for sharing what you're knitting right now. I will be doing that as my yarn a lot from now on. If anybody else is interested in sharing what they're knitting at the moment, I'm happy to put that at the beginning of the show. You can call the voice line at 206-888-4187. It's a voicemail line. I think that number is the new one. I'll be posting the number as well, and you can call in and let me know what you think. If you're new to the show, welcome. Check out the website. It's at itsapuroman.com. itsapuroman.com. It's .com-y. Anyhow, I have a great interview today with Kristen Nicholas, who is a designer who has written a couple of books and is releasing a new line of yarn, and she shares a little insight about her history in the knitting business, and it's really a lot of fun. She's very sweet. I got to meet her and her daughter at the Massachusetts Sheep and Wool Festival, and it was a lot of fun to hang out with them. They're very sweet. And let's see, other things. I've got things that I want to share with people. Well, first of all, if you've been following the blog, you know that I've received a really cool package from the people at Tom Bihn, B-I-H-N. They sent me a bunch of baggies and a prototype knitting bag that is still in the works. Apparently, they're not totally ready to release it yet, but they will be soon. They have some design issues. Apparently, they need to get ballistic material involved. I'm not sure what that means, but I like the idea of having my knitting stuff wrapped in some sort of ballistic material, which, you know, it's going to be a good thing. At any rate, they're still working out some of the kinks, so I have one of the early prototypes, and I'll let you guys know as that comes along. My large knitting bag name is Sam. Yeah, I have to name things. I don't know why. But I got to admit, the really cool part about the things that they sent are these little plastic clear pouches, which people have had before, and I've seen other people have them, but I really haven't gotten into them. But they have a couple of different sizes of these clear pouches, and I took pictures and put them up on the blog, and if you guys are interested, please check it out. And these little clear pouches have really just a great way to organize all my toys. And for me, that's important. I have lots of knitting toys that I carry with me from place to place. And the main knitting toy, I usually have like just a bag that I carry with Notions. I now have a much smaller clear bag that I carry with Notions, and it's very exciting. I'm now calling that bag Natalie. She's a little red number, hot red number, clear plastic. And you can see all the things I carry, and it's kind of funny to stare at this here. The thing in the background, the thing is, though, if you look at the picture, the one thing that you're missing here is in the background there's a calculator, but on top of the calculator is a pen, a couple of crochet hooks, some stitch markers, a tape measure, a row counter, and, you know, it's all the normal Notion things that I carry around with me. You know, when people ask for things at knitting groups, I'm usually the first one to pull things out. And now with my new and exciting knitting bag collection from Tom Bin, I may be the first one to pull things out. I may even be faster on the draw. Well, you know, now that I have ballistic type material. Well, we'll see. Anyway, it's really cool stuff. I highly recommend you check out Tom Bin. Those little pouches are not part of the knitting bag, but they are on sale. And if you like it, you know, check it out. So they seem really durable so far, and I have my cable hook. Sorry, guys, a little tired tonight. I'm trying to do the recording at 10 because I had a busy day, but I wanted to get the show out. Anyway, the little Notions bag, I've had my cable needle at the top of the Notions bag, so it's been sitting up against the plastic, and the plastic, or the clear plastic stuff, hasn't torn yet or even shown little indentations. So that's a good sign, because that's, you know, my fear is all the little pokey toy stuff I have in there will eventually break through one of these things, but it hasn't, so it's a good sign. Anyway, in other news, I just wanted to make a quick couple of shout-outs, international shout-outs, because I have friends traveling all over, and if we can make some international connections, I think that would be really cool. So let me see where I put my show notes today. You know, I actually have a folder where I put all these things, and that never seems to get empty. I always have show notes, even though I never get to all of them. Anyhow, my friend Lucy Lee from Mind's Eye Yarn is going to be traveling to Korea soon. I think she's going to be in Seoul, Korea. And if anybody happens to be in the Seoul, Korea area and wants to drop me a line, I just want to try to hook her up with somebody who might be able to show her the knitting scene in Seoul, Korea. She doesn't speak Korean. I assume she's going to learn a couple of words, but, you know, so she's very excited about going, and she should have one day where she should be able to run around and check out the stores and then report back to us, because, you know, I want to know what the knitting scene is like in Seoul, Korea. And so does she. So please send an email to me at twoskeins@itsapromoman.com, which can be found on the website in the About page. And let me know if you're in the Korea area and you're willing to hook up with my friend Lucy to show her around the knitting scene or the knitting stores in Seoul, Korea. The other announcement I want to make is my friend Susan Baker. She's the one who I did an interview with at Windsor Button. She owns Windsor Button. We'll be traveling around, we'll actually be touring around with her chorus, which is the Dedham Choral. Apparently they're very good, so I've been told. And they'll be in Italy, in different places on different dates. Let me just read it off to you quickly. Saturday, July 7th at 9 p.m., they have a concert in Rome at the Waldensian Evangelical Church on Piazza Cavour near St. Peter's Square in Sant'Angelo. I wonder where that is exactly. I guess I'll have to Google it later. And on Sunday, July 8th, they'll be at 12:15 p.m. They'll be singing at services at St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. That's pretty cool. And wow, what a great opportunity for them. And on Wednesday, July 11th at 9 p.m., they will have a 9 p.m. concert in Assisi at Santa Maria Maggiore. I'm going to have to put this in the show notes because I'm really bad at this. Because apparently I don't know how to pronounce anything. And then Friday, July 13th at 9 p.m., they have a concert in Bagni di Luca. It's a joint concert with the Lucca-based gospel choir, Joyful Voices. So I have some friends. Actually, it's funny. They're both shop owners who are going to be touring around the rest of the world. And I'm just sharing the information. If you run into Susan at any of these places, say hi. And if you run into Lucy in Korea, say hi as well. They're really wonderful people. And, you know, they're both very hard workers and spend a lot of time trying to make sure their shops survive and that the community survives. And so I'm glad that they get to go spend a little time off and run around the rest of the world. So anyhow, that's all the news I have at the moment. I think I missed some events that should have been announced earlier. The only other thing I've been up to, in case you're interested what I've been up to, is I've been working tirelessly to try to help the committee or the planning committee for the Boston Knit Out and Crochet 2007. I have been nominated to be the sponsor liaison, and I'm going to be calling a bunch of people asking to help support the event, which is pretty exciting and fun. This year there is no New York Knit Out. They're going to be having the DC Knit Out and then switching off every year between DC and New York. And I think what we're going to do for the Boston Knit Out is when there's no New York Knit Out, we'll have a Boston Knit Out, and then we're going to take off every other year, which I think will be good. It'll allow people to rest and build up the organization a little bit. So anyhow, we're looking for sponsors, people who are interested in sponsoring the event, as well as we're looking for people who are interested in exhibiting and advertising. And finally, we are looking for people who are willing to volunteer on the day. So you can find out more information about the Boston Knit Out at the website, which is bostonknitout.com. And I have a button on my webpage already, so you can just click there. And if you're interested in sponsoring the event, feel free to send me an email directly. I will be contacting some people shortly. And I'm looking forward to contacting the sponsors who have been helping put the show on for the last couple of years, which is great. Really, it's quite an event. And as you guys heard from last year's recordings I did, it's just all sorts of people. Really fun, really good time. So let's get on with the interview.
Of Western Massachusetts, one town from Vermont, and it's an area that used to be full of farms and everybody made their living farming. And now, as farming has been harder and harder and harder to do, people have bought these old farms and live on them, and a lot of the land is going back into woods. But we have sheep, we have 200 sheep, and so we use the sheep to take care of the pastures and keep all the brambles down. And so we have rolling fields, and we have an apple orchard that the sheep graze through, and it's just it's a lovely, lovely setting. It's peaceful and pastoral, but there's all this undercurrent of things that go wrong constantly.
Really?
Really.
Things that are going wrong on the farm or just in the neighborhood?
More things. When you have all those animals, stuff happens. Like, we use the sheep to graze the lawn because we're too lazy to mow it ourselves. And so my husband takes this portable fencing, which has electricity to go through it, so the sheep stay in and the coyotes stay out. And then, so he fenced the yard in, this is last week, and he forgot to move the Adirondack chairs that were getting a little bit old. They were 8 years old, not too bad, but the sheep, they have to scratch their backs, and so the Adirondack chairs are now a pile of sticks. And that stuff happens all the time, so you just have to watch them.
So you learn to live with it.
Yeah, you can't get upset about anything, and I try not to. But last year we went into the Boer goat business, which mm-hmm. they're these goats that are from South Africa, and my husband, you get more money for the meat on goats. You don't get more money, but you get money all year round, versus sheep are very, you get money at Easter time, and you get money at holidays. So he thought they would be a good thing, but all they did was escape from the fences. And so I finally said, that's it, out of here. They ate my garden. They were never in the fences. They were climbing all over everything. I just lost it. And then we had two bottle lambs last year, and they had been raised in the house, in the bathroom. And so we put them outside, and they had their little pen and this little calf hutch that they lived in. But then they got bigger, and they moved out with the flock. Well, they didn't want to be with the flock, so they kept escaping. And if the door was ever open, they'd come in, and they'd walk through the house. And I'd hear this, bang, 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 and it's the sheep upstairs. So I finally said, get rid of those. And so they went too.
So this is the dream, huh?
Yeah, this is the dream. This is like, it's a dream. It was a dream. My husband grew up on a dairy farm, so he always wanted to always have animals forever. And when I was a kid, I always wanted to live on a farm. So, yeah, we are living the dream, but there's all this other stuff that goes with it that isn't exactly dreamlike.
So tell me where you're from originally and where this dream came from.
Oh, I'm from New Jersey. I'm from this town called Dover, which is about 35 miles outside New York City. And I think I got interested in farming because my dad's grandparents came from Germany, and they had a farm in New Jersey, and he would spend the summers on it. Mm-hmm. And so he used to talk about it, and he loved it. And I think that's probably where my interest came in it.
And your interest in yarn?
Okay. I started sewing when I was 9, and I started knitting when I was about 8. And my mom always sewed all our clothes when we were little. I have 4 sisters. And so when we got older and could start learning stuff, she taught me to knit, and then she taught me to sew. And I basically figured it all out on my own just by increasing my skill level by following patterns. And just took it, and I just became passionate about it when I was a kid. And then I went to school for it. I went to University of Delaware for textiles, and I went to Oregon State, where I met my husband on an exchange program for textiles. And then I went to Colorado State and got a master's in textiles.
So you had planned on going into a career in the fiber business, I mean, if you went through all that schooling.
I wanted to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to, but I wasn't sure I would be able to get a job. And when I was in graduate school, there was a magazine called Knitting Times that came to the department, you know, and because I was teaching there, I was in with all the teachers, and they would give us all the professional things. And there was an article about yarn companies, and they interviewed Diane Friedman from Taki. And it was in 1981, and it was when the last big boom in knitting was. And I thought, oh, I want to get a job doing that. So I came back, I moved back east to New Jersey and lived with my parents, and I started sending letters out. And she wrote me a note saying she, you know, thank you for applying, but don't need anybody. So then I got a job in New York City, and I worked in the Empire State Building in merchandising. Ooh. It was called Botany Shirt Company, and I basically was a merchandising assistant. And, you know, I commuted an hour and something minutes, and I got paid nothing. And then my husband and I decided we would get married, and I quit my job, and we went to Europe for 2 weeks, to England. That was our first time we went to England and Scotland. And then he came back here, and I went for a trip in Europe for 4 more weeks. Came back, got married, and in the meantime, I had written a letter to Pat Chu, well, Bill Chu, her husband, and they owned Elite Specialty Yarns. Mm-hmm. And they interviewed me, and when I got back, they gave me a job. So I got a job about 2 weeks before I got married, and so we decided to move to Massachusetts, and Mark found a place for us to live, and my first day on the job was going to the TNNA show in Chicago. And her daughter was getting married. So she took me to the show. We set the booth up. There was barely little yarn. It was pretty ugly, the yarn that they had. And then she left, and I had to do the trade show by myself because it was a tiny little company, and I knew nothing, but somehow I winged it, and the people were all very nice in the industry, and that was my introduction to the yarn business.
And you've been in it ever since.
Yeah, and I've been in it. I worked there for 16 years, and then took a little break. I quit after Julia was born and started writing the books, and I did two embroidery books because that's also something I really like to do. The thing is with me, I don't only like to knit. I like to do embroidery. I like to sew. I like to decorate. I like to paint. And so my whole thing on the knitting is it's an art versus just liking to knit. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
So it's an extension of your artistic expression.
Yeah. And that's the way I take it. And that's why I like working with color, because I take all my art, my art background with color, and then I translate it into knitting.
Fair enough. So the color palettes that you've used, I've looked at your website, and I saw that, I can't help but notice that the palette that you tend to go with, from your art to the yarn, it's really sort of striking, and it's not something that I see normally, like the combinations you use, as well as the fact that they're all so brilliant in a way. How is that going for you? I mean, how do you sell that to some degree to people? I mean, they're bright.
Oh, they're really bright. Yeah. It's a way to use color, and I've got a new book coming out in the fall in October called, what's it called? It's called Kristen Knits, and it's all about, it's a lot of different projects, scarves, hats, mittens, gloves, 5 sweaters, an afghan, and socks. And so in these projects, it's all about how I use color. And the yarn that I used is my yarn, Julia, which is named after my daughter, Julia, who's turning 9 this summer. And that's the color range that I use. So the book will be a good sales tool for the yarn, but it's all about how to combine colors and where to find ideas. And I'm totally fascinated by it. And I also, because I've been so sucked in with the color thing for all these years, it's hard for me to understand that people don't understand how to use color, because it's so intuitive for me now.
So can you give me a basic idea or a basic, is there a basic rule for using color? I mean, I don't know exactly what you mean.
There's not really a basic rule. It's just if somebody's afraid of color, they have to know how to look at colors to see what's successful and what they like, and then translate it into maybe a project. And right now I have a blog called Getting Stitched on the Farm, mm-hmm. and I'm starting a new little thing where I'm taking pictures around the farm and around my landscape where there's beautiful color combinations in nature. And then I'm taking those color combinations and I'm going to be translating them into swatches so that people can read the blog, look at it, and then say, oh, I see how she did that, and maybe find that in their life to then learn how to use color. And then the other thing is, if you look at packaging, like pasta boxes, anchovy tins, and different things, you see how people use color. Mm-hmm. And so you can translate that into a sweater or a pair of socks.
So what you're suggesting is, in a way, the art imitating life?
Yeah.
Sort of?
Yeah, I guess so. Art, that sounds good, yeah. Yeah.
You know, art imitates, what is the circle? Art imitates life, life imitates art.
Exactly. Yeah, and then, you know, when I do a painting, what I'll do with a painting is I take a picture that I see, a picture that I take in my life. And so I'm, you know, I got a long backlog because I haven't painted lately. But I'll see a beautiful scene and then I'll translate it into a picture. Mm-hmm. Or I'll make a still life of a scene and then translate it into a painting. But it completely changes once you turn it into the painting, because you start doing other things to it.
Fair enough. So let me ask you, what are you working on these days? Do you have knitting projects at the moment?
This is what I do. I continually swatch. swatch, 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 swatch. And
can I just stop you for a moment and ask you, so does this mean you don't like yourself? You're swatching all the time? Have you done something wrong to deserve this punishment?
No, it's not. To me, the swatch is the most fun thing. Because what I do in the swatch is I figure out the pattern that I'm going to write. And so my wheels turn when I'm doing the swatch. But once the swatch is done and it's successful and I've written the pattern for it, I'm no longer interested in the project.
All done.
And so I send it to one of my people that knit for me, mm-hmm. and they'll actually execute it, because I'm terrible at deadlines and it's easier to get other people to knit it for me. I do knit, but I tend to have projects that are, I make for Julia, or I make pillows for my house, and those are just things that I pick up, you know, constantly. But
well, thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Thank you, Kristen, for the great interview. And also thank you to Julia, her daughter, for the fun little mini interview, which I'll stick at the very end of the show. I also want to thank all my listeners for hanging around. Sorry, this episode's a little quiet and relaxed. It's 10 o'clock and I'm a little tired, but I did want to get the show out for you guys. The next show will probably be in a week from this Sunday. It's one that I've been working on, and it's taking a lot more time than I thought, but I'm really excited about putting it out there, and I don't want to release it till it's ready. I also want to do a quick shout out for my Skype buddy, Charles. He has a video knitting podcast called Charles Lifestyle and Knitting. You can find him at charleslifeknitting.blogspot.com. I'll try to throw a link into the show notes. Show notes are probably going to come tomorrow night or the night after. In the meantime, you can find him at that address. So that, I think, wraps up the show. I have some very exciting recording coming up. I will only be putting out one more show in a week from Sunday, and then I'm going to take a little break, and I think the break is going to last through most of July, but I do have another show that I will be putting together for the Harry Potter time. You know, the time when the new book comes out and everybody's very excited and they need things to keep them occupied, waiting in line while they're waiting for the book. And I can't wait to put that show together. I've got some very entertaining guests, and it should be a lot of fun. And that is all for this week. I'm going to play a little music from the music.podshow.com website, and I hope you like it. Have a great week, and thanks for listening.
I come to my senses. They say everything exists, but on a technicality, rationality resists. Millions of questions is the top one on my list. Why struggle with reality? The truth is what it is. There is one everything. One everything. And we are one with it. There is disrespectful of the soul. The selfish in action are divided and controlled, clutching and clinging to the things that they can hold. Fixated by fraction, distracted from the whole. One everything. One everything. And we are one with it. One everything. Of piss and shit. So saith the seeker after truth. Well, this is it. There is one everything. and all you down with it on everything.
Start there. Can you start with just your first name and the town you live in? Just the first name.
Julia.
Where do you live? You like living there?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of house do you live in?
Kind of a big house.
Yeah? How many rooms? A lot?
Yeah, kind of a lot.
Do you have some sheep?
Yeah.
What kind of sheep do you have?
Black and white sheep.
Yeah? Do they have names or are they all just sheep?
Some of them have names, but some of them are just sheep.
Which ones have... tell me about the sheep that have names.
Well, there's one named Cora who has a little bit of white on her head. And then the rest of her is black.
Do you spend a lot of time with your sheep?
Yeah.
What do you do with them?
I like to play with Cora, and I like to play with the others, too.
So they're friendly?
Yeah, some of them are.
Are there some that aren't so friendly?
Yeah, kinda.
Do you stay far, far away from them?
No, not really.
You're not afraid of them?
No.
Do you have any other kinds of animals on the farm?
Chickens. We get pigs every year, but we slaughter them, too.
Excellent. Thank you for your time.
We also have kittens and dogs.
Kittens and dogs? How many kittens and dogs?
Two dogs and nine. And we also have big cats, too. And we have 13 cats total, totaling the kittens.
That's a lot of cats. Now they all have names, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can you list them off? It's going to take a while.
Charlie, Sebastian, Vera, Boo Boo, Lily Pons, Zell, Flora, Cookie, Ginger, Templeton, Toby, Charlotte, and Fern.
Now, does that mean that there's always something going on in your house? Always something moving around?
Yeah, and today Templeton caught a chipmunk.
Chipmunk? Wow, so there's all sorts of animals in your house. What do you like to do when you're at home? Do you like to play with Legos, or do you like to go for walks?
Yeah, I like to read.
You like to read? Oh, what book are you reading?
Oh, at night, my dad reads me Ramona Forever. That's a book by Beverly Cleary.
Oh, that's very nice. And what's it about?
There's her friend Howie, and then she doesn't like Howie's grandmother because Howie's grandmother's mean to Ramona, and she thinks that Howie's grandmother doesn't like her. And then in the end of the story, I know what's gonna happen because I saw the pictures and the movies.
So you like the book then?
Yeah.
Do you recommend it to other kids?
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.